Listener Production.
Activate your internet, because the Hamish and Andy podcast starts in 3, 2... Sorry, still buffering. 1.
Ahoy to me, Kevin. Hamish.
Hello.
Ahoy to me, Joe. Jack.
Ahoy.
Oh, we're World Jonas leaders? Brothers. We're Jonas Brothers.
Jonas Brothers.
I was thinking Kevin Rudd and Joe Biden.
heads of state at some point in the 21st century. No, Jonas Brothers. Jonas Brothers, well done,
it,
Jack.
It, of course, makes me the Nick. Kevin, the oldest brother, that's you, Ham, married with 2 children. Joe, middle brother, has been previously married to Sophie Turner.
Yeah.
Commiserations, Jack.
What happened?
Are we not together anymore?
I'm not sure. Oh, that's what it says here. And maybe that was your disinterest and that's what caused the split. And I'm the youngest brother, also married. Don't know why Mike decided to write down their marital status, but it seemed important to him.
What's a weird bit of information?
Maybe just showing us that even when he's doing the hardest bit of his job, that can just take sometimes up to days of the week, he's not afraid to go deep.
I would have thought lead singer, guitarist, drummer or something would have been more
appropriate. He has a size 11 foot. He has a 10 and a half.
Yeah, and also
Nick,
11.
Nick, the runt of the family.
As a 5.
With a 9.
Ahoy also to Taylor from Canberra.
Ahoy, boys, and number 6, this is Taylor coming to you from Canberra. I'm just sitting in the car finishing up episode 240 before I head into Woolies for my food shop. And not only did I spot a Tiguan, I got hit by a Tiguan. They've lost so much touch with the common man, they had no issue hitting my very, very common and very in-touch Mazda CX-3. So the beef continues.
No, there's not a beef. There's not a beef between CX-3s and Tiguans.
And we don't have a beef between with Tiguan at all.
No,
historically, obviously, Taylor did the right thing. She's gone in order and she's up to 240. Historically, your dad showed as a flex that he drives a Volkswagen Tiguan because they were hard to get. I challenged that, thinking that it wasn't so much for flex. Turns out they are quite difficult to get.
Mate, listen to this. I'm just going to find an email. This came in. I looked at it last week and we didn't get to it. Listen to this. Speaking of Tiguan, sorry, I wasn't expecting there to be this Tiguan chat, but you get a load of this. Here it is. Jake, this comes in from alert listener Jake. He writes, I'm currently doing a marketing class to demonstrate how people attach themselves to things they purchase. The lecturer asked us to bring in our favorite possession or a picture of it.
Mm-hmm.
We were all very surprised when 3 out of the 38 students bought a picture of the same thing, a Volkswagen Tiguan. Jake writes, from this, it is reasonable to conclude that roughly 8% of the population considers the Volkswagen Tiguan the most sought-after possession on earth. No wonder they're so hard to get. Yeah. Unsurprisingly, no one bought in a picture of a T-Roc, which is the smaller version in the 4x4 crossover category.
Well,
so that's evidence coming from a university.
Which
Tiguans are sought after, which
we haven't really delved into, but it does beg you to ask the question, can they make more?
Mm, what's the problem?
Would you close down a few of the T-Roc machines and just reprogram them?
Stretch them out a little.
to make a Tiguan.
To me, the anecdote makes it sound like the Tiguan is a lot of Tiguans because almost 10% of the class had a Tiguan.
No, they didn't.
If you're lucky enough
to have one, it's your most
prized possession. And remember, Jack, at least one or two of those 3 people that bought the photo in, they're probably not even their Tiguan. It's probably one they saw.
Yeah,
it's probably one they saw and they're so thrilled to have seen one. But seeing
one up the street and they walk up to it every morning.
Knowing that they saw one is their most prized possession.
That's true, actually, Am. So it's doubtful any of them had them under that.
It's sort of like going, oh, this is my favourite, this is one of my most cherished things. Oh, it's a picture of a cheetah from when we went on safari. Now, you don't own the cheetah. You just loved that you got a glimpse of it in the wild.
That's true. Guys, I asked for the top of the show. Because
this is it.
There's an opportunity for us to potentially start a new adventure.
Jeez, second show in.
What are we known for on this show?
Peter outs. weak arms.
More recently, mistakes. Yeah, but there's something that our podcast does that no other podcast does.
Gusto.
Yeah.
We do like to give away a dollar or a bow.
A dollar.
Reverse subscriptions.
Give away a dollar. Obviously, whenever we're out and about, you see us in the flesh, we give you a dollar.
Yeah.
And I would say that we're championing dollar coins and cash as a solution more than really anyone at the moment.
Yeah, we probably are keeping the dollars flowing. Mm. We're probably pretty responsible for keeping the dollars flowing.
That's why over the break, when I saw a funny-looking 50-cent piece that wasn't the usual coat of arms.
Here we go. I think I know where this is going. I like it. I like where this is going, Jack.
Hang on. Not every dollar coin has to look the same. Sometimes they bring out a fun one.
Sometimes you feel like there's years where you get many funny ones.
Yes.
And they're, you know, I think they're known as commemorative coins.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to be when the mood strikes the mint, they will just do one. Because sometimes they might. I remember seeing one. I'm pretty sure it was Antarctic explorer Douglas Mawson.
Well, this is interesting.
Now it wasn't. Bear in mind, it wasn't minted in like 1920 or whenever he was exploring the Antarctic. This was just someone going, well, Jim Mawson hasn't been recognised in coin form, and so it doesn't seem like it has to line up with a current event. Although that would be what we're asking for ours. I assume.
Jack, drop the drone. You're right, and I've got some backstory on that as well. It forced me, at risk of being caught by the government, as doing work during the government-mandated break.
I don't think this counts as work. I think this is more of a passion interest project.
I reached out with a query to the Australian Mint just to see, how does it go? The Royal Australian Mint.
Good on you
Mint.
For finding the time, because it's actually not that long, the mandated break. Like, I barely had time to catch my breath.
So I talked to a lady called Trudy.
Yep.
She can help.
What'd she say?
It's not a no.
Hang on. So what did you ask?
Can we have a Hamish and Andy gold dollar, actual dollar coin?
Can we have a Hamish and Andy commemorative coin?
Yep.
And it's not a no.
It's not a no.
What's the process?
2 years.
What does that mean?
It's a 2-year process.
So they're public nominated, or does it come from the government?
Great question. It seemed like anyone could ring up, but obviously
like at the moment that you just rang the front desk and asked a lady named Trudy if you could make your own coin.
And if that is the loophole, have we accidentally opened a flood of being like, hey, Sally and Damien, like for your wedding, I've got the mint. You guys are now on the $5 note.
No, there is a lot more rigor that goes in.
There'd be a public.
People put out applications.
Like getting a stamp, I would have thought.
Yep. Here's the thing. The current government authorised policy says that you can't have people that are still alive on their coins other than the king/queen, depending on who's alive and then.
So
if we wanted,
maybe it might be nice for Jack to be on the coin, and then in the ultimate show of dedication of the show,
I become king.
One way of looking at it.
Now you did say it would be a big adventure. Can we make Jack the king? Well, it'd really be up there, though, wouldn't it? Like, remember the time we did the gravy chip? Oh, yeah, that was fun. Yeah.
Oh, I'm still getting emails about being the king for a year.
That was a heck of a story.
Yes, we managed to sneak in.
Remember when we found a
steel Prince William's identity? Yeah, no, I think it's going to be easier for him to take his own life, but we don't want that to happen.
No.
Or get them to change the rules.
I wasn't saying Jack do it himself. I was saying we could have made it more of a fun, like list, like a Hunger Games thing, and list.
Yeah.
Jack on an island with 100 listeners.
I do have a big ask.
I've decided the big ask. Would you go to an island and be prepared to be hunted, Victory Royale style?
The only way. So I'm like, is this a hard?
That is a no. I'd love to be alive in 2 years.
Well, we could have a symbol. It's just we couldn't have our faces on it.
Happy with that? Yeah, just the H&A.
Could just be an H&A. I said, though, just to test the waters, hey, what if we were adamant that it needed to be Jack's face and he didn't get to be king? They said it has to go to the treasurer, the current treasurer of the country.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Chalmers is his name. and we'd have to arrange for him, and he would have to agree to change the policy as a one-off. It would have to go through 2 to 3 different levels before it hits the minister, but he would have the final say. And that does sound like administration and red tape, which
That's the thing we hate. So we do, I was going to say, one of the things we stand for is Gust Owen coins. Mm. One of the things we stand against is red tape and bureaucracy.
Yeah.
So and faff. That just sounds like so much faff.
Yeah, so that's what I'm worried about this for us. It's like there's a lot of, it seems to be a bit of faff, but.
I'm already lag. I can feel it dragging on me a bit. The wind is going in my sails. Yeah. But if it's, if it was a, like, when you first said Jim would have to sign off on it, immediately I got excited there going, we time it, right? Like, we don't follow politics that closely, but if we, you know, you get a, we go, hey, Charlie Pickering, like, when's the treasurer, when's the treasurer busiest or whatever?
Yes.
And you go, oh, the budget's handed down at this particular date. We go, great, let's catch him in the car park on that afternoon because he's going to have way bigger fish to fry.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Jim, just quick yes or no, mate, quick yes or no. Can we be on a dollar coin?
Yes.
It's got to be faces. We're going to be alive. Yeah. That'll cool. And you could maybe get it that way. But if it's got to be him sitting in his desk, like applying bandwidth to it in a job that's probably got a lot of things going on, that is hard. What if it's just a silhouette of two men bowing and a weasel? I mean,
it won't mean a lot to everybody who picks up a coin.
Mate, none of them do.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
none of them Andrew Mawson or whoever you said, I hadn't heard of him before you mentioned him. Mawson,
but I suppose the point is like they've all done amazing things. Yeah. Like you know, we're looking for more of the light relief from the serious achievements because they've all done incredible things.
And there's, you know, 50 years of scouting or something like that, which is, you know.
That's the stuff that there's some that you sense have just got through because of persistence.
Yeah, they got him in the car park.
They got him in the car park. Because it's not us going, we, you know, no one's saying name a highway after the show.
No.
Like you know, no. Like the normal honours for these pioneering Australians.
Yep.
What we're after, like, would it be so bad if you had a little light relief on the coin?
That's exactly
could
what I
we
think.
Just bring a bit of humour to the coin?
That's exactly what I think. Now, Vegemite was on. Now, only Vegemite's great.
Were they really? Give me a few that have been on.
100 years of Disney.
Are you kidding me?
What's to do with Australia?
That has nothing to do with Australia.
Exactly.
So 100 years of Disney got on the coin.
That's what that again. So brands have been on them, you know? You know what? I know. I found out the Wiggles were. They're not dead.
Hang on. The Wiggles got on a coin?
But they argued that they were characters on a coin, not live humans on a coin.
Mate, great. If we can wear a moustache and a wig on a coin, even better.
So.
What about just in loving future memory of Hamish and Andy? Because at some point we'll be gone.
We'll be gone.
Yes. It's an early tribute.
We don't have to decide now. In fact, people write in if you've got other suggestions, but. Don't decide now on what we had want to put on it, but
sorry, can I say, was it faces or just because I like the idea of the two bowing silhouettes?
That'd be fine.
That's fine. Yeah, it's just, it just can't be that like
it can't be
portrait.
Like, yeah, portrait.
Close up.
Yeah,
I'm fine with that. It doesn't have to have our face on.
No, I don't think we. I actually said I didn't think we want our faces on it anyway. I think that's a little bit arrogant, to be honest. Which I like being a bit arrogant, but that's
yeah, it's
too
still
far.
A bit arrogant.
Yeah. So
yeah, we are trying to get our face on currency. Usually reserved for the greats.
Yeah. So here's the question. The only question for you two today is this will not be a weekly update thing.
No.
This will be in 6 months' time.
How have we gone?
How are we going?
Mm. Are you happy to run lead on the paperwork?
I will, as a guy that can do some administration.
Well, that appeals to me, Jack.
That appeals greatly to me.
So this will cost you no time.
It sounds like once every 6 months we'll sit down.
But in the interim, design. What exactly are we asking? Let's take a week or two, ponder that.
There'd be someone out there that collects every time a commemorative one comes out, they try and get it. There'd be people out there with the full collection.
If you're a coin enthusiast,
let's get a coin nerd on to tell us.
Enthusiast, are we?
Sorry, coiniac.
Yeah,
just come on and
tell us what appeals.
Yeah, save space and just they would know. I mean, because we're only going to get the official response from the Treasury.
Yep.
They would probably have stories of the loopholes, the special circumstances, the one-offs,
and I'd just also
the limited runs.
And I'd also love to know from them what appeals, do you reckon? Where have people gone wrong?
Yeah.
If they're going, hey, I don't really love this one because of this.
Did you get a vibe from the Treasury when you're talking to Trudy on the, you know, the fact that they're not in the position of power they were in, let's say, 1988 when they did the bicentennial coin?
No.
Like back then, if you wanted a dollar, you needed a dollar coin.
Mm.
These days, they must know. Mm. Like, is it in? Do they want more coins out there as the mint? Do they want us to keep liking coins?
Certainly, I think the interest in coins has waned a little bit. So I think we've got a better chance.
This works for them.
Yeah, I think it would work for them. Similarly, the Olympics, you know, people aren't as into it because of the World Cups and Super Bowls and stuff. I think they're being a bit more loosey-goosey with the usage of their rings and so on.
Yeah, right. So they sense a bit of like, okay, we were probably being a bit protective.
Yep.
We need people to be chatting about us.
I think that's what's going down.
Yeah, and that's what we can bring. We can keep the chat up about coins if they can scratch our back. And we can get Jim at 4:59 on a Friday.
Hey, and we pride ourselves on gusto being high after it was challenged by someone internally back in the day.
Some four years ago,
that our show lacked a little gusto at one point.
But we did also say at the start of the year, start of show number one for this year, said, hey, the gusto check. A thing where we call businesses and use a scientifically proven method, using a three-man panel, judging panel. Does this business have gusto? Do they have good gusto? And because when a business has good gusto, that spills over into customer satisfaction.
Exactly.
That spills over into word of mouth, and that sends profits through the roof. Mm-hmm. So if you're running a business, I don't care who you are, you want gusto.
Yeah.
Who's going to check it? We'll do it.
We'll do it, and we do it free of charge, which is but the only thing is we don't do it if you reach out and request it. We just do it on unsuspecting cafes or businesses. What have you gone with today?
We get a lot of requests for gusto checks because gusto is a brand of coffee, and I think they have their own, you know, they roast their own coffee and they have their own stores. Now, not so interested in, you know, many people have noticed, and I must admit I was one of the, in the early days, I looked at my coffee cup and went, oh, gusto coffee, okay. I'm not so interested in checking them specifically, but there is, someone's written in, there's a cafe in Brisbane called Gusto da Gianni, which roughly translates to Gianni's gusto.
Okay, so
the question is,
if Gianni,
does Gianni have gusto? Now, I doubt we're going to get Gianni on the phone. We might get lucky.
Yep.
Does Gianni have gusto? You would hope so, because he's named his cafe after his gusto.
You would think that it's one of the major elements of the induction for
any new
employee.
Day one.
Yep.
That would be the absolute first company principle they would run you through. Listen,
yep.
We named the store after my gusto. I'm known for it. You are representing me. If I'm not manning the counter, you are representing me and therefore my gusto. You must have gusto.
It'd be slides 1 through to 12, I think.
Yeah, and then right at the end, the other things we do.
You operate the till this way.
Coffee cleaning up, chairs and tables wiping down, and food. So the you get to sit through a 13 slide induction when you join the coffee shop.
Okay.
So what I remember, we haven't done a gusto check for a while, but what I remember is
three
categories. I think it's the greeting.
Yep.
One store specific question.
Yes.
And then one bit where I'm on the fence about coming in. And then I encourage them to sell me the story. Tell me the story. Why should I come in?
Why should I make the trip in? Yes. Okay, great. Jacko, you got the number there?
All right. You want the opener?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, thanks.
Gusto check. We're going to do a gusto check.
All right, Haim, good luck. Out of 10, and we all individually score, and then we will chat about it straight after the call. Here we go.
Good morning, Gustavo Gianni. Giuseppe speaking.
Hi, is that Gianni?
Giuseppe.
Ah, Giuseppe. Giuseppe, how are you going?
Very good.
That's good to hear. Giuseppe, I was thinking of coming in for a snack tomorrow. What sort of snacks do you have?
What do you mean, snack? We got some... You can choose from the full menu.
Oh.
We got some entrees. They're very good, yeah.
Okay. Well...
We got some beautiful entrees that you can choose. Some calamari, zucchini flour, arancini. Bresaola, chagrin octopus. That's all the entrees that you can...
Okay. Well... I've really enjoyed our conversation.
Huh?
I'm thinking of coming. I'm very, very keen on coming in tomorrow.
Yeah.
in tomorrow. Why should I come in to Gusto Giugiani as opposed to several of the other establishments in the area?
Because we're the best Italian restaurant.
Hey, I agree with you, man. All right, we're gonna come in tomorrow.
Great service, great food, great wine list.
All right, and now I'm really looking forward to it. I'll see you tomorrow.
Nope. I'll be here waiting
Thanks
for you.
Giuseppe.
Your name is?
Jensen.
Jensen, no problem.
Thank
I will
you.
Remember you.
Oh,
ciao.
Thank you. Ciao.
Wow.
I mean, after a shaky start.
Yeah, it was a shaky start.
It built to an absolute explosion of gusto. You would have just, I don't want to lead the witness, but let's see what you guys scored him.
Where did you sit
him.
For greeting Jack out of 10?
Only a 5 out of 10. Didn't sound interested, sounded like he had other stuff he'd rather be doing.
I would agree with that. It is a hard...
I had him in a similar vein. I actually had him at a 4, scaled up to a 5, because as you realize, like, obviously... Giuseppe sounds like an Italian gentleman of a certain age. You're not going to get a huge, you're not going to get like a showbiz hello from guys that age. But he's, you know, in their heart, they're very interested.
That's true. I also went from a 5 to a 6 for the same reason. As soon as I realized that we're talking to a traditional Italian gent, I was like, okay, it gets a bit. Okay, so let's average that as a 5.
Mm. You asked him how he was and he said very good, even though he didn't sound very good.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, it's language of someone who's using gusto just didn't sound.
And like sometimes the gusto follows the language, so I appreciate his effort. Mm. You're right. I think actually he probably deserves almost 6 low 6s.
Okay.
What snacks do you have? Now, this comes from possibly, it sounds like it's a restaurant.
Mm.
I think I misunderstood. I think we thought it was a cafe.
Yeah, yeah.
Look, that's fine, and that's on me for the research. A little bit on you, Jack, because you did Google it. I think he did a wonderful job of listing the entree, because he's actually dealing there with a misunderstanding of a customer.
Mm.
I thought he was going to say we've got, like, you know, counter food and stuff, but he's then telling us about the...
specials. Then when you got the giggles because you realized it was a restaurant, not a cafe,
I just was in trouble there for a second.
Yeah. But that actually gave, I thought that was good because it gave him a chance. He was short with you at the start. He said, we got good entrees. Then you giggled for
a bit. What do you mean?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Yeah, what do you mean?
Because,
he's a restaurant. So
I was like, oh, this is, I thought it was a bit rude there.
That's
but
probably
one
off the gusto, yeah.
But then as you gave him space, then he started going, well, we got the calamari, we got this and that. So he actually grew in gusto.
Eight.
I gave him a 7.5.
Yeah, okay. 8 for what snacks do you have. Then, why should I come in? Elephant in the room. Mm. Probably the best gusto we've ever had from someone selling their business.
I agree.
11.
Mm. Best Italian restaurant. Everything he said after that was brilliant.
10 from me, 11 from Haim. What are you, Jack?
Yeah, 9 from me.
Okay, that averages out 10.
You're a hard nut.
9 out of 10 is very good.
Yeah, that's very good.
24 divided by 3 across all things. It's a very good gusto.
It's a huge
8
gusto
out of 10. Well done.
Yeah, well done. I don't know why I've had
Do we remember what they win then?
No, well, I mean, what they win is now people know if you're in the Brisbane area.
Yeah, yeah.
Gusto Giugiani. Yeah. Gianni's gusto. They ain't mucking around.
No.
He's obviously told Giuseppe, this is what I stand for.
Giuseppe sat
through the slides.
With his notepad. 1 to 12.
And he's absolutely nailed the course. He's whatever is on those 12 slides, he has committed to heart and he's now spouting gusto. Well done. Boys, I feel like I should mention a few other boys that are in my life at the moment.
Really?
The new boys in the house.
Beard boys?
Babykins. Yeah, full body beards.
Wow.
Makes you look like an absolute skink. Makes your beard very embarrassing, mate, if you're just bearding on your face. Yeah, I got a couple of full body beard boys at our house.
Really?
And glorious beards for something so young.
I mean, they're tiny. Mm-hmm. Just to bring everyone up to speed, the Blake household now has two kittens, which will grow into cats.
Yep.
So I keep saying at the moment, but like they're ours now, they're our pets.
When does a kitten become a cat?
Great question. I think at about 6 months.
Oh, that's quick.
That's quick.
They go for, it's fast, Jack. I mean, that's what I think the song Cats in the Cradle is about by Cat Stevens.
Is that what that means?
No, mate, it's about his son.
I thought the analogy was like, I've got a cat in the cradle, like your son grows up so fast.
Faster than the kid. I think Amy's made up the 6 month rule as well. I don't think that's it.
I'm learning so much today.
I think that was his initial draft of the song.
Yeah.
Kids grow up as fast as kids, even a little bit faster. Kittens are so quick to grow up. A rare miss from Blake there, not singing Cat Stevens properly, because he is right in my register.
Yes, that's normally your go-to at karaoke.
That's normally my go-to, yeah. So I apologise to Yusuf now.
Cats in the Cradle wasn't Cat Stevens.
Wasn't it?
No, I think you're just thinking of a cat.
No, are you thinking the version that Boyzone did, the Irish band?
Let me look it up.
Are you thinking Ugly Kid Joe? You're thinking of Ugly Kid Joe.
No, Cat Stevens.
Mate, Cat Stevens is the, of course it's Cat Stevens. That's why it was so famous.
Harry Chapin.
His father and son.
Jeez, maybe he was.
We were thinking of father and son. It's now time to make a change.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Sorry, yeah.
They're both about sons growing up too fast.
You're right. I stand corrected. That's probably why I was doing the voice wrong. It's not Cat Stevens.
Who was the original?
In hindsight, Jack, you are right.
Harry Chapin is his name.
Because if you're Cat Stevens, you're not going to, you can call a song anything.
But you're not calling
you
it.
You wouldn't call it. You would go, I think I'm being a bit cat heavy.
And people might think I'm saying I'm in the cradle.
Yeah.
You're right. Exactly. You're spot on, Jack. That's exactly why he didn't write that song. No. He just sat down to do it and he went, nope, I'm not. It's too cat heavy. They grow up way quick, but the kittens are, I mean, they're adorable.
Names?
Potato and Jimothy.
Both boys.
Potato, a classic boy's name.
Yes.
Jimothy, also a classic boy's name. Mm-hmm. Tatey and the J-Man. They sound like a breakfast show. I'll be honest with you. They sound like a commercial radio regional breakfast show.
Yes. Yeah.
Any nickname you give Potato and Jimothy, even Jimothy and the Spud, just sounds like
a radio show.
A brekkie show. So it's definitely not a bad thing for their future if they want to branch off. Here's the thing though, Ando. We had a cat for a long time.
Meowbit.
Originally he was Zoe's cat. He was about 2 or 3 years old when we first got together. And then when he sadly passed, he was about, 14 or 15. So really getting up there in cat time. When we were getting the kittens, I was like, hey, this is a big day for us. I was like, it's very exciting to meet the boys. She was like, no, this is our first pet together.
Oh.
I was like, yeah, but we have two kids and we're married.
And you add 12 years with another pet that you were taking care of.
Yeah, then she was like, no, but I came with Meowbit to the relationship. Like, these are our cats. Mm. I'm not diluting the seriousness of the kittens.
Yes.
But you have two of the things we share in your body come out. Like, it was quite a big deal at the time, if you remember. Like, I just feel like kids have kind of trumped that. I'm not taking anything away from getting the kittens, but I didn't see it as that kind of like relationship milestone.
Yes.
They are meant to be the same breed as Meowbit. And that breed
when you say
is
meant to be.
Okay. Here's what I wanted to talk to you about, Ando. Because of your dog debacle, how you were talking up this huge game about how you're going to have the world's tallest dog.
Yeah.
And it's just refused to grow.
Give it
and
time.
Has let down fans left,
time.
Right, and center. Well, how long from when a puppy's a dog? Henry's a dog now, isn't she?
Yep.
I think if she was going to be tall, she'd be tall by now.
I had my growth spurt.
I actually had mine late too.
In year 11.
Yeah, but in dog years,
yes.
That's old.
Yeah.
Like if you're having your growth spurt in year 11, that's, what's that in dog years? That's like 100.
Yeah. Is there a...
I think it's 1 to 7.
1 to 7. What's for cats?
I think it's about the same.
About the same. Yeah, no.
It's not really scientific. I mean, it's not like if you zoom in on their cells in a microscope, you're like, bloody hell, everything's moving 7 times the speed in here. Like, I think it's just a thing we say to kind of put them on par with us. So I don't know a lot about cat genealogy. I mean, I know the basics. It's for all mammals about how babies are made. But both their parents, the boy's parents, because they're brothers, right? Mm-hmm. But they do not look alike, and that's okay. That can happen to brothers.
Yes.
They're meant to be what's called a short-haired, exotic, Persian type of cat.
Bit of a snub nose.
Bit of a Garfield, culture reference.
Yes, that's it.
Not animated, but
no.
the Bill Murray, more the Bill Murray kind of one. And they are that. They're very cute. Like, you know, we love them no matter what. However, the reason you don't get a long-haired Persian, which you might know from the Dine commercials, I think that's a Persian cat on those ads, but they're very long-haired cats.
Okay, yes.
You know, in cartoons, they're often portrayed, I think unfairly probably, as a bit snooty.
Right.
A long-haired Persian cat's a bit snooty. The reason you don't want them is you have to groom them every single day. Like, it's a big commitment. Like, some dogs are like a big grooming commitment. So you wouldn't get...
No.
Like, what are the very fuzzy dogs? Chow Chows? The big, like those really...
I don't know.
They look like bears.
Yeah, right.
You know those? It's just, they're great for some people, but if you don't want to be grooming something every day, like, do yourself a favor and do not commit to 15 years of grooming.
Yep.
As we've had the young boys in our house, Potato and Jimothy, it does seem like... Jimothy has significantly longer hair than Potato.
You got a high maintenance.
And, well, we...
Can you take them back?
You can't take them back. Brothers. We love them. They're part of the family and they're brothers.
Yeah,
but it does seem like one is...
How long have you had them for?
Mate, we're attached. We're not taking you back.
I was just going to say, there's always a cooling off period for these type of things. If you'd, if they'd advertise something and you get something different...
Yeah.
I think
the word we got back from the breeder was like, oh, because remember, the breed is short-haired Persian.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they were like, oh, no, he's just got a bit of, don't worry, he's not a long hair. His hair's just longer. Like, that's the quality we're talking about here.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the only determining quality between the long-haired and the short-haired version.
Is the length of hair.
Yeah. I mean, that's like saying it's not a stretch limo. It's just a very, very long car. Well, it seems to concede 8 people and is popular to hire before formals, but it's still a sedan.
It's the longest sedan. Tell me then, when you had this discussion with them, because of the breed being shorter hair, does that mean less maintenance?
That's the idea. You don't have to comb it out and all that. Like, it's going to
be. If you have a longer haired, short haired version, is that less maintenance? Is it a different type of hair? Or
it's just
purely down to length?
It's like that. Yeah, there's got to be a cutoff somewhere. I think they're trying to say to us, and bearing in mind, like, he's staying, so it's fine. We're just in. But you do look on, I looked on a cat website and it has all these qualities out of 10, like whatever, you know, playfulness, meow at level, whatever. And grooming was a 10 out of 10. Like, do not get this cat unless you love grooming cats.
okay.
So I think what's being sold to us is the longest short hair you could ever get. Like a world record length for long
short
hair. But at the same time, the shortest long hair you could ever get.
Has the kids gravitated to one each?
Yeah, Sonny's a Jimothy man.
So
he's in for the grooming. That's the long haired one. He could be in for the grooming. That suits him well, actually, because my daughter, Rudy, she is a long-haired human.
Yes.
She doesn't like grooming that hair either. She doesn't have form for grooming hair. So it could work out. But anyway, if it all works out, if it somehow grows into his fur and it shrinks, we've got some happy days on the hand. But if not, then I just like the fact that both you and I, Ando, have pets that...
aren't living
they just
up.
Talked a big game
yeah.
and physically are liars.
Hey, Haim, a lot of special skills have come in. HamishNandy.com. Thank you for all your correspondence. 50% gets to Hamish, 50% gets to me, so we don't really see each other. So it's unlucky if an upset Andy lands on my side of the fence.
delete. Send it a few times. Look, I'm excited to get back into special skills for the year.
Yeah, we are the show. If you're just joining the show for the first time, welcome. But we encourage everyone to go from the start. But we are the show where we'll acknowledge if you're really good at something, that there's no formal body or championship that defines who the best in the world is. We will have a look at it.
We sure will.
We'll set the boundaries and parameters. And if you exceed that, you'll be awarded a coin and celebrated on the show. Anya, or Annie maybe, she writes in, she nominates her partner. Okay. We love that because when people nominate themselves, there's a natural arrogance that goes in. You go, did you just do it once? And now you're thinking of it all the time.
There is a tendency to remember romantically the time that you guess three bingo numbers coming up in a row. It doesn't mean you're going to do it every time.
The reason why I bring this one up is like, I think we should organise to fly Liam, her partner, in if we think it's impressive.
Mate, you know, we're very happy to open the checkbook and buy the cheapest available flight.
It's a time-based thing. So I can't quite quantify what 2.5 seconds is.
This to this.
Is that about right, Jack?
Probably was a bit quick. Someone will measure it. Yeah. Someone will measure it and get back to us in future episodes. My actual guess for what I said was 1.9.
She writes, I'm nominating my partner, Liam. He can get undressed in under 2.5 seconds.
What?
Shoes, socks, shirt, jeans, underpants, everything in the capitals.
No, he can't.
It blows my mind every time.
No, he can't.
Now, I know we've got...
Is she saying it as a figure of speech?
No. Yeah. It's very specific.
Good. All right, let's just, before we completely shut it down, remember the bananas?
Yeah.
Remember the peeler? How many did he do in, what was it, like 2 seconds? Six bananas. Was it one banana?
I can't remember.
Was it one banana? Or no, it was one banana.
Skin completely off in under a second.
Might have been under a second. Jez, was it under a second? Yeah, Jez filmed it. That was on at the emergency slide party because I remember being on the plane and whilst deploying the emergency slide was amazing fun.
Yeah,
the banana was still incredible.
Incredible.
Then didn't we have someone that works at a monkey sanctuary? Then they came in the studio and they were saying I could do six bananas.
They could unpeel six bananas in one time. I don't think he could pull it off.
He couldn't do it.
It was a long trip for him.
Yeah, I think it might have been stalk position or ripeness he had an issue with.
Yeah,
but again.
Yeah.
A banana peel, though, is so different to socks, shoes, shorts.
No, underwear. I know, Jack. I'm just saying if you could peel a banana in 1 second, can you peel a human in 2.5? And you're right, Jack. I would say it's way more than 2.5 times the complexity to peel a human out of layers before the skin off.
Let's assume he's not wearing some kind of stripper outfit where they just Velcro the whole thing off.
That's like, there can be none of
those. So I'll check on that, but are you willing for us to work out?
Well, you know what I'm doing. I'm actually timing 2.5 seconds.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yep.
So jeans, shoes, pants, everything off to here.
Wow.
No way.
Now say why you should be saying wow.
Because
Now, it was a short time, but say the other reason why you should be saying wow.
Because he stopped it exactly at 2.5 seconds.
Oh, well, did
that check? Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
Yes.
That's more like it.
That's more like it. But so you didn't really count as a down into that, were you? That was my problem with it. When you just said...
I thought you were still describing like what he's going to do.
So did I, Jack. I'd say, do you want to give us another example with a countdown and see if you can do it again?
Well, I'm not doing it again. Okay. I won't stop it exactly. But what I will give you is another rough one. I don't think you can count down from decimals. So I'm going to have to do stopwatch, ready? So 2.5 seconds. Is now remembering all the layers. I won't
just
verbalize
say now
all the
to now.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Is now. That's about 2.5.
We would be impressed. We would be very impressed.
I think we'd be impressed still. Let's get it.
You think that's too long?
No. I think it felt longer than the other one, but I still think that's super impressive.
Do you want me to do three for you? Do you want to hear what three sounds like?
No,
I would be happy. I would be happy with 3 seconds.
I think if you can do it under 2.5. I mean,
Andy, honestly, it'll only take 3 seconds. Just visualize three.
Sure, okay. Yeah.
Now? Now. That's still really
it's
far.
It's very quick. It's very quick.
It's impossible.
Shoes, socks, shirt, undies,
socks?
Pants.
I mean, no.
That's what, that's
no
what
way,
they're saying.
No way.
That's what he's saying. Undies, I mean, we're going to see a nude man. It's going to be like the end scene in Saltbush at the end of it. Saltburn, sorry.
Yeah. But now dance for 2 minutes.
Yeah.
We're going to, I mean, yeah, it's going to be we'll like, organize him. We're going to have a naked man standing in the studio, like panting, looking at us, and we're going to be like, sorry, that was 7.5 seconds. Or just lying on the floor nude, yeah, going like squirming because he couldn't get his last sock off.
Hang on.
Like, check. There's got to be a catch. That seems like one of the most outrageous claims we've ever had someone say. And remember, someone's been on this show throwing an orange very close to the roof.
Yeah, imagine we fly him over and she said, oh, there was a typo. It was 25 seconds and I put a decimal.
Okay, I'll double check on the time.
I want you to talk to them. Okay. And if you can scrutineer it and you're happy with that, mm-hmm, I'll back that.
Yep. Okay.
Thanks for listening. The Hamish and Andy podcast will return next week. Catch up or contribute at hamishandandy.com.